Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, August 16th, 2021, and this is episode 234 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. We are coming to you live on Facebook. I'm your host, Chad King, and joining me today, as always, Eric Nathanson. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. The Giants keep winning baseball games, and we get to keep talking about a first-place ball club, so things are good. You know, when the Giants are winning, everything else, you know, seems just a little bit better.
Yeah.
How are things back in California?
Well, hot as always, but nothing like, you know, obviously like Vegas. But I do want to say apologize for being off for a week. I had a vacation. Eric had some stuff to do, so we couldn't quite squeeze it in. But we're here to kind of squeeze in 2 weeks worth of Giants baseball. But man, let me tell you, they did not disappoint. It was one of those things where, like, every week when we record, I'm like, I wonder if they're going to be in first place when we record next week. I wonder if they're going to be. Yeah, no problems. They went 10-3 since we last recorded on August 2nd. So they held up their part of the bargain. The problem is the Dodgers also held up their part of the bargain as far as they're concerned. And they went 8-3 in that time frame. So the Giants actually gained only one game on the Dodgers and now have a four-game lead. It did peak at five over the weekend, but it's four games. The Padres are fading now, a full 10 games back, because Padres are going to Padre. We all know that. And the Giants continue to have the best record in all of baseball, with the Dodgers, of course, having the second best record. The Giants are now 76-42, 34 games above 500. Unbelievable. I don't know. I mean, Eric, is it too early to start talking about magic numbers to clinch a playoff spot? Because I did the math. Just saying. With the Padres being 10 games back, of course, holding on to that second wild card spot right now, the Reds are 2.5 behind them, meaning they're 12.5 games behind the Giants, putting the Giants' magic number to basically have a better record than the Reds at 32. And that's, of course, a combination of Giants' wins and Reds' losses. I know, a little too early, but it's kind of fun to think of that way, considering the Giants have 44 games remaining.
I mean, they're in a position to use the term magic number in the first place. So, you know, might as well roll it out as soon as you can. I mean, the magic number to win the West is really going to be what we're looking at. I hope that they're talking about magic numbers in September and it's not just.
Yeah. Yeah, we're obviously way too early to start talking about magic numbers with a four game lead against the vaunted Dodgers, because we know the Dodgers can just keep the pressure up on the Giants. And the Giants, we'll get to it, have quite the schedule coming up. But you know, at this point in the season, Eric, I look at it and I kind of think every time I think the Giants have a really tough challenge coming up schedule-wise or because of injuries or because of whatever's going on, starting pitching, starting to fade, this person's not doing well, the bullpen's blowing up, McGee's having a hiccup, they just find a way. They just find a way to win. And it's not just against the bad teams. I mean, granted, yeah, they did play the Diamondbacks and Rockies this past 2 weeks, and that helped. But, you know, they went 7-3 the previous week before that against the Dodgers and the Astros. They took 2-3 from Milwaukee, who has the third best record in all of baseball. They're holding their own against these playoff contenders. They haven't lost more than four games in a row this year. They haven't won more than six games in a row this year. They've won five in a row several times. So that really does preach consistency, next man up. They never have a huge hole in their performance. Yeah, they have bad games, but they never have like 2 weeks where they, you know, went 2-8 or something like that. They just haven't had that streak yet. And I mean, knock on wood. But I think at this point, you know, that fear, that kind of like Giants pessimism that usually creeps in is not as strong right now.
No, it's really not. It's really strange to have that kind of confidence in a team. And it's because, you know, we're talking about a pre-show. They do, you know, they do everything right. And they do all the little things. They don't give away this. They don't give away that. And they are always in an opportunity to win a game, which makes it easier to stop losing streaks. You know, it still blows my mind, though. The Giants have gone 10-3 since we last recorded. And they were 3.5 games up on the Dodgers the last time we recorded, and they're only 4 games up. That's how good the Dodgers have been behind them. And like, they should be separating themselves. They should be doing what the White Sox are doing. They should be doing, not Houston necessarily, but what Milwaukee is doing. But instead, they're, you know, having to fend off the Dodgers at the same time. So it makes it, I think that that helps the Giants play consistently good baseball, is knowing that the Dodgers are right on their tail. It really does. And, you know, all you can do is say you preach fundamentals. The Giants do everything right, and that's what keeps you from having long losing streaks. You know, we've seen teams like the Diamondbacks and Rockies have long losing streaks, and these recent series show why. They're not good teams. They don't necessarily field well. They don't communicate. They run into outs. You know, they do those things the Giants don't do, and that's why they're the bad teams. And the Giants keep – I love that they haven't had a losing streak longer than 4 games all year, and they only did that once. But they've never had a winning streak more than 6 games. That's also kind of crazy. Like, they had a chance to go get 7 in a row when they lost to the Rockies the other night, and, you know – they haven't had that yet. So it just shows how even keeled they are as a team. And I think that bodes well for, you know, future playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, they shake off the day before. You know, you have a stat in here. Alex Wood, he's 11-0 after losses. The last 11 starts after a loss, the Giants have won. I guess that's probably all year. And that's kind of amazing, knowing there's stoppers in the starting rotation at the moment. And that's, you know, that's why they get on these rolls like they did. Every single series we're about to talk about, 3 or 4 in Arizona, 2 or 3 in Milwaukee, 2 from Arizona, 3 or 4 from Colorado. They won those series. I can't remember the last time the Giants lost a series. I'm guessing it was the Cardinals or something, or coming out of the break.
Yeah, because prior to that, they beat Houston 2 out of 3. They beat the Dodgers 3 out of 4. I mean, you go on down the list. It's been a while. Yeah, I think might have been the Cardinals series.
Pittsburgh. It was Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh towards the end of July. That's hilarious. The only two series they've lost.
Yeah.
Yep. The only two they've lost since the All-Star break is to Cardinals and Pittsburgh. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fine. You know, it's better than losing to the Dodgers, right? So there you go. So, yeah, you know, we talked at the beginning of the year that the Giants are going to be a mediocre team. And we all know that it's been this past week when the Giants passed 74, 75, and now 76 wins. It was, you know, a big deal was made out of it because most of the Vegas sports books had them around 75 wins, was kind of the over under. And they've now surpassed that with 44, 45 games remaining. So, you know, it's actually pretty consistent across the board of reasonable Giants fans, too. I mean, that's Vegas, which is more objective. But even our own predictions, right? The beginning of the year, Willie, who should be joining us here shortly, he also predicted 75. I, little higher, 78. They're only 2 wins away from that. And you shot the moon, we thought. We thought you were
right.
Smoking dope, straight up, like, give me that, you know? You had 88 wins. And that's going to be low. I mean, that's going to be low. They're not going to win just 12 games the rest of the year, you know? To make you look
it better perfect. Be low.
You're yeah. like, yeah, exactly. Like, if you're spot on, that's a bad way to end the season. So even the three of us, and you, we thought you were crazy, are going to be under. We even had 40 submissions for that show from Facebook and Twitter and other sources. The average win total from those 40 submissions was 82 wins. The low was 72, and the high was only 92. So, oh, wow. I mean, even our most hopeful of Giants fans who listen or follow the show still only predicted, I don't mean only, but predicted 92. Not, you know, we've had, especially after the World Series years, I have some records where some people are like, 109 wins. And you're like, okay, right. All right.
Nobody went that crazy this year. Put the pipe down. And the Giants did. Yep.
Yeah. So now this year was the opposite. And it's funny, too, because like after the 14 World Series, we all had predictions in the 80s, right? Coming off the World Series year. And they go and win 68 or 69 that year. We were like so far off the other way. They fully underperformed. So we'd much rather have it this way when we're predicting collectively probably around 500 or a little below 500 and they're blowing it out of the water.
I mean, literally every one of us has cold takes about the Giants this year. We all do. Yeah. As humanity, it's just one big L. You take the L and know that nobody expected this, and you just kind of move on and be like, yeah, that happens.
Yeah, one of our listeners, Mike Dowling, chimed in here. He had submitted, or at least he says here, he predicted 91. Yeah, I mean, you're might still be low, Mike, which is incredible, right? Because right now, they have 44 games remaining. So if they went 500, that's 22 more wins, which puts them at 98. What the heck? If they go 500 the rest of the year, they get 98 wins? Are you serious? That's insane. So just slightly above 500, and they're going to be at 100 wins. So, I mean,
I read in piece the other day, this is one of the top eight records in the wild card era this late in the season.
Yeah.
So they're not just winning. They're winning at a historic pace right now. I mean, we haven't had a lot of 100-win teams since the wild card came in. We really haven't. We've probably had like 15 of them, I'm guessing. And the Giants could be one of them this year.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, the Giants are on pace for 104 wins, which if they maintain that winning percentage would give them their all-time win record, I believe, in San Francisco for sure. Of course, they won 103 in the 93 season, which we always lament about. And then they don't even qualify for the playoffs. The Dodgers did win 106 back in 2019, I believe. That's one of the high water marks. I know the Yankees have been up there too a couple times. I know a long time ago, Seattle was 112 wins. I think that's like the wild card record era or whatever for number of wins. And they got bounced in the first round anyway. But I mean, the Giants are treading in historic waters here. And they're most likely going to end up with one of the highest win totals in franchise history in San Francisco. So, you know, playoffs, schmayoffs, we'll see what happens. You know, if it's be a wild card or a five-game series, anything can happen. But it's just incredible. But, looks like we have Willie Dills coming in here. Let me add him to the call.
I mean, that's the thing, though. If the Giants keep winning series at this clip, we're going to be talking about a playoff series in October. No question about it.
Hopefully not one game, right?
Well, I mean, Cap's got a history of having the bullpen collapse. A couple of years ago, you remember the Phillies were in contention, and then they absolutely just collapsed. And, you know, you just got to hope that that doesn't happen this year.
Hey, Willie, how you doing,
Willie?
What's up? I think I know where you guys are at, and I actually have something to share on the subject. Jim Furlong, Ewok in LA, who I've been having hearty conversations with. He's a huge
I've
Dodgers
seen some of the, a few Twitter. Of the Twitter exchanges with you. Yes. That's been pretty funny.
It's been a lot of fun. He just tweeted me this today. The next 2 weeks are a gauntlet for the Giants. They get through it. The division is theirs. And I got to say, even though he's a Dodgers fan, I think he's right. I think this is the make or break couple of weeks here, because they're playing right now. Who are they playing? The Pirates? We got the Mets. And then we've got more Brewers, right? And then this is definitely the hardest part of the schedule. And then we get to play against them, right? So then it's like we get to either beat the Dodgers or not. So I don't know. Seems like this is the moment.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You're good. Just Ubering home, having
yeah. Actually, well, here. I guess like I'm saying, I'm good. My transmission went out on my car the other day.
Yeah, so,
fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Hopefully, good news. The mechanic didn't seem too concerned when I dropped it off. So,
oh well, that's good.
When I told him what had happened, he was like, "Oh, okay, yeah. I'll call you if there's anything crazy." I was like,
"Car's
he hasn't called me yet."
That vaccination for its transmission, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, hey, look, let's just jump to something else that happened this past week. Something that, I don't know about you two, but I was completely taken aback. Certainly, we've talked about the resurgence of some of the old guard, specifically Brandon Crawford and Buster Posey. And like, oh, man, their contracts are expiring this year. What are they going to do? Man, maybe they'll re-sign them. And we're starting to talk about it. Well, at the beginning of the year, we're like, okay, get rid of the dead weight. They're gone. Their contracts are going to be history. And here they are, you know, really carrying this team to where they are today, along with, you know, many other parts and pieces that are doing so well together. But Brandon Crawford, out of the blue, signs a two-year, $32 million extension to remain a San Francisco Giant through 2023. And, I mean, how can you argue with that, guys? I mean, did you see this coming? I mean, obviously, I thought it would come in the offseason, but not right now.
No,
not at all.
I mean, I guess I did think after the year he was having that we were going to re-sign him, but I didn't think it was going to happen in the middle of the season. But a lot of people who I've seen talking about it since then have made some interesting points that this almost feels like a momentum play. Like, everything is going so well. We got Chris Bryant, who comes in just smoking hot, right? And now it's like, okay, well, we could be good for the next 4 years, right? So why don't we make some moves that incentivize someone like Chris Bryant to go ahead and think about signing his contract, which I doubt he would do until the year is over regardless. But
sure,
you know, you do this now, and it looks like, oh, my God, look at the Giants. They take care of their own. Wow, like $32 million for 2 years for how old is Crawford now? Was he
34, I think.
34?
Mm-hmm, 34.
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely like just past the prime years, but maybe not for him. So, but yeah, I kind of feel like that's how it feels anyway. It's like, yeah, things are going really well. Let's keep it going.
What can we coming do? Into the year, I mean, Crawford had a good second half last shortened season, but and it's 2018 and 2019 were just really not very good at all. And we all just kind of expected he would have a contract that expires and then he's going to go see if he can get paid somewhere else. And to have like Farhan recognize that, yeah, the Giants have all this money free next year, which means they don't have any cornerstones on the ball club to draw anybody. Yastrzemski's like it. They need to start building that team. And by locking in Crawford, if he's going to continue to have this success, you know, it shows people like KB, you know, hey, maybe I do want to stay here with the Giants. They've got a lot of players, you know, that are working towards something instead of just like, well, if I come here, where do I, you know, where do I fit in as opposed to just building a team all over again. So taking somebody like Crawford, doing what he's doing, and I think that this is it. I think this might be Crawford's last contract. He might play it out, and that might be it. And like we were saying the other night, we want to see him stay with the organization. He is like truly the epitome of forever Giant, from being a kid and the son of season ticket holders to possibly finishing his career there. It's got to be a dream come true for a guy like that. It's really cool. I mean, Brandon's probably one of the most likable Giants players we've seen in our lifetime. So it's always nice to see that get rewarded too.
Yeah. I mean, we all know about the photo of him as a kid at Candlestick Park with the sign, Mr. White, please don't let them go. And he recreated that as an adult several years ago, which was pretty cool. Grew up a Giants fan. He just bleeds black and orange. And so, you know, $16 million a year is nothing to sneeze at, but given his production and his high WAR value and his defensive metrics, $16 million on the open market actually might be a couple mil low, so he might have taken a slight discount. I know that sounds a little crazy, but it is a slight hometown discount. But that's, he says he can't imagine playing anywhere else. And so I have just a couple minutes of his interview in the dugout with Gabe Kapler and Farhan. I won't play the whole thing, but the first couple of minutes is him speaking along with Farhan, and I think there's some insight into where the Giants are going with the other guys too.
Kind of know your next couple years and you're having right now, how special is it?
I mean, really happy, really excited. My family's obviously very happy. This is the only organization we've ever known, and they've always taken such good care of me and my family, and we're just happy to know that we're going to be here for a couple more years. As a kid, I always dreamed about, you know, wearing the Giants uniform and never really thought about playing anywhere else. So yeah, I mean, there are definitely times where it's hard to believe that I've lasted this long here with the Giants.
Is he a decision with the way he's playing this year?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think you see it on a day-in, day-out basis, how important he's been to our team in the lineup, out on the field, not just his own defense, but how he elevates the entire infield with, you know, just his consistency and excellent play. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine anybody else playing shortstop for the San Francisco Giants. And, you know, for myself, being relatively new to the organization still and having seen a lot of Brandon's career from afar, you know, I always really respected him as a player on both sides of the ball, but in the last 3 years, getting to see it up close has given me a different level of appreciation for, you know, not just the player he is, but how much he means to this city, to this area, and how much being a Giant means to him. So it, you know, it made this a really easy decision, and we're all thrilled we were able to figure it out.
When did the talks kind of start to pick up between?
That's good for now, but yeah, Farhan goes on, and he teased a couple of things when they're asking him about what about, you know, the old guard, and he basically was very coy, but kind of like, we'll see. I could see a situation where now that they've opened the floodgates with Buster Posey's resurgence this year and his presence just as a leader on the clubhouse, they would be motivated to get his contract, you know, kind of set in place too, because it sends mixed signals. Unless Posey's camp is like, no, we don't want to talk about it right now, we want to wait till after the season's over. But if they're open to it, it would make sense to kind of get it done now too, just so it's not a distraction as they enter the playoffs.
Yeah, you
it really does start making you think, like, wait a minute. So we got another year of, and then what about belts? And what, you know what I mean? It's like, these guys are all, when they're healthy, actually playing really good right now. I do not want to see anything beyond 2 years, though, for anybody. I think that's a nice timeline that we can maybe think about for real, except for Bryant. Bryant, I want to see locked up.
Well, it's interesting. Farhan was on the broadcast the night of the Crawford signing. And what he mentioned was that there's been talks ongoing with different players, and this just happened to be the one that crossed the finish line first. Okay. Apparently, there was rumblings during the All-Star break where Crawford was talking to somebody I read where he's like, yeah, I would totally take a 2-year deal to stay in San Francisco. And that, you know, because of that offhanded comment, Farhan ended up texting Crawford's agent in a joking manner, and it kicked off the talks, and then they got it across the finish line. So I think that, you know, the Posey and Belt possibilities are out there. They could be having those, and like you said, you know, Posey's camp might have been like, let's wait until the end of the season and see what we want to do there. You know, there's also the possibility they're talking to Gausman about, you know, re-signing him now. They could be talking to Disco about re-signing him now. There's a plethora of Giants, but the old guard, you know, it's interesting to see if Belt himself will want to stick around or if he will want to explore options to go be a DH in a hitter's park somewhere.
Yeah, so Belt, so I was actually just looking at it the other day. So Cueto is, I think, the guy that we can definitely say that's, I think, the cut ties guy. We're not going to pay him $22 million or whatever it is again. But Gausman, I think, you know, at 31, definitely we could see another few, you know, a multi-year contract there. I think Wilmer Flores is another guy that I would like to see because he doesn't, it's not a big price ticket on that. And he's a great kind of platoon-y guy. And that seems to be the way we want to build our team, right, is guys who can do that type of thing. Belt doesn't really quite fit into that category, right? And he's been paid. He gets paid more than Crawford, I believe, right? So not like a huge margin more. But so, like, it seems to me like the way to do this is just don't discount them. Don't discount the old guard as expendable pieces now. But right, we need to, like, replace all of them. But do the things that make sense. Because I do believe we still have the building blocks in a lot of other places. The other guy is Darren Ruff, who I'm like, this guy might actually really fit into our long-term plans at this point. And these are all names I didn't think that I was going to be saying at the beginning of the year. I thought it was really going to be, you know, this was like a swan song for a lot of these guys and where's whatever. But, I mean, this is what happens when you're the best team in baseball all of a sudden out of nowhere. Is now all of a sudden guys are going to want to stay on that train, right? Yeah, so it's a good problem to have, for sure.
I can't believe we're talking about this. The Giants having the best record in baseball, maybe sure, winning the division, and then re-signing Brandon Crawford in August. Man, this has been such a trippy season. Brandon Crawford's wife, Jalen, who's very active on social media, and she's always posting pictures of their kids. And Brandon's, man, he just seems like a good dad. He's just always with the kids, always doing stuff with the kids. But she had a little Instagram post talking about their memory of being drafted. There was a little shot, though. He said, although he went lower than anticipated,
yeah.
It was the Giants. And she goes on to talk about how, you know, they've always been Giants fans, and he'll be a Giant forever. All the accomplishments, 2 more years. We are forever Giants. This is a family. Thanks to all the fans and everything. And then for those of you watching on Facebook, I have the Instagram feed up, and it's just a bunch of pictures that she has of her and Brandon over the years, you know, just together with their kids during the World Series and the parade, just on the field, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, this is just one of those rare instances where you have a player who is so connected to the Giants for his entire life. And there was such a burning desire to stay with the Giants. That's probably why he took a few million discount, whatever. I mean, we're talking about $16 million here. He's at 32 total. He's fine. He's fine.
They would still make him the fifth highest paid shortstop, which he currently is right now. Okay, so It basically keeps him in the same kind of like spot.
Yeah. So there you go.
Which makes sense too. I mean, look at the production of shortstops across the league. Where does he fall? I'd say in the top five right now. So you get paid like a top five shortstop.
For sure. Oh, sounds like something's done. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if Posey and Belt are next. I know Belt has a lot of haters, but, you know, he's productive in streaks, and we'll get to that later. We all know Brandon Belt is – if you could bottle him up and just play him when you knew he was hot, boy, he would be an MVP candidate. But right? Unfortunately, he is hot or cold, man. That dude is just streaky as hell.
But his stats this season, and when you look at the games he has played, Belt is right there with Crawford. He's just played, 40 less games or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But he's got an 880 OPS, 530 slugging, and Crawford's got 536, 900. So, you know, when Belt is there, he's doing the job.
Well, I'll tell you what the difference with Crawford is he's making just better singles type contact. What he's done this year and totally transformed his game and why he's partly deserved of this contract is there are so many situations where he used to be trying to launch the ball out of the ballpark where he's now just slapping it through that hole the other way or taking the pitch that's given to him. With two strikes, he's like the Giants' best hitter, right? You know, I don't have the stats in front of me, but you just kind of know when he gets to two strikes, he's shortening his swing and he's just trying to make contact. It's almost Anthony Rizzo-like in the way he does it. And I think that that's part of the reason that they wanted to make a deal like this is because it shows that Crawford's willing to grow and learn things with the new organization. So if he's going to do that and he's the clubhouse presence that everybody says he is, you know, it makes it the perfect thing. Brandon Crawford is the dream life of a San Francisco Giant. You know what I mean? He's living the life we all dreamed of living as a kid, growing up a Giants fan and playing for and starring for the Giants. And he's going to probably go down as the best shortstop in San Francisco or any Giants history at all time sure. Giants history. Yeah.
I mean, who would it be besides him? Like at this point, right? Like
Travis Jackson. That's it. That's what I'm saying. It's some guy from 100 years ago.
Yeah.
We're not known for like all time shortstops necessarily. Right. So, I mean, he's our guy for sure.
Yeah. Some guy with a cool baseball like name, you know, Shooter McBabbit or something. You know?
He's hitting like Bobo Newsom here, and he's got almost 20 homer. Like, it's crazy. And we still got a decent chunk of baseball left. So, his stats this season are going to be like, this is like a legit career year for almost any player.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is that, you know, they have Luciano and stuff coming up, but he's not going to be ready next year, probably not even in 2 years. So he is kind of the best fit right now for his performance. Buster Posey is probably the best fit because of his performance over the next year or two, despite Bart hitting better, but he still has a lot of holes, right, with the strikeouts and everything else. You have Kurt Casale also, who has been just an admirable backup. And yeah, he struggled offensively at the beginning of the year. We all know about that consecutive shutout streak and how well he handles the pitchers. And we kept saying, well, he's still valuable. The Giants are winning when he's catching. Well, after he went on the IL and had that hamate bone injury and he came back, he's hitting .326 since he came off the IL, right? With all five of his home runs. Mm-hmm. The Giants are 33-8 when Casale starts. That's a better winning percentage than Buster freaking Posey. Mm-hmm. He's a massive part of this team, and people who always get down on his offensive performance, you know, it's like, look, I mean, he's performing now. He's doing great. So they have an admirable backup.
They can't get over his start. Yeah, they can't get over how he started the season.
No,
really.
No, they can't. They just
haven't
back at
paid
that.
Attention since or something. I don't really know. Because, yeah, since then, I mean, obviously he started in a deep hole.
Yeah,
he's hitting 230 now.
But he was hitting 100 for half the season. Yep.
Yeah, but guess what Mike Yastrzemski's hitting right now? 223.
Yeah.
So Curtis Alley has a higher batting average than Mike Yastrzemski over the entire season.
So perfect. Perfect example right there. And yeah, he doesn't catch nearly the flack. But is Yaz calling a good game? No, he's playing a good right field. You know, sure. not as impactful, you know, of a player right now, basically. But it does beg the question of Brandon Belt because of his injury history. I don't care about his streakiness. Overall, I think when he's on the field, he's a great player. But it's the emergence of a guy like Lamont Wade Jr., the ability to put in a Wilmer Flores who has a club option, who Darren Ruff, who, you know, has been a serviceable fill-in, certainly mashes lefties. You get that combination of players and you kind of look and go, well, if they weren't to sign one of those three, I would guess Belt would be the odd man out.
Yeah, no, I would.
I mean, yeah, they have the options.
All three are lifetime Giants. It's sad no matter what, but I don't think all three make sense unless they're all willing to take much less. You know, like Posey makes 22, I think, and Belt makes 17. Like, do those amounts make sense now? I don't know. You know, at the ages of 36 and 35, like probably not. So
yeah, make a good point. Like it doesn't make sense. Even with his injury history this year, again, it's just like,
yeah. So if they're willing to drop that number down a little bit and understand that this is the tail end of their careers, but here's a chance to be a big part of a winning team, they still make sense on the field. It's just when we're trying to build the rest of the team, and we don't spend like the Dodgers, then we have to make some decisions, right? So, and also I'm all for like a new era. That era does feel like Brandon Crawford seems like he could be the transition piece into a new era. But I'm ready. I'm like, come on. We're talking to
we're all tired of Belt. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I love it's the guy.
So I love the guy. I love him. Yeah.
He's a good dude too, you know? It's just so funny that every one of us, and it's not like the Belt Wars are ending, you know, a certain way. It's just that he is the one guy, like you said, that doesn't fit as exactly. He needs to pretty much, I think he needs to start every day. And the platoon,
there's plenty of teams that could use us every day for his baseman, right?
Yeah, and then DHing on days that he's not, sure, you know, and the Giants don't provide that opportunity right now. So,
no.
You know, maybe it is with the Giants if the DH is brought in next year, but I don't know. For some reason, I feel like for his own mental state, he might want to go somewhere and hit dingers.
Yeah. Some short porch for the right, yeah, short right field porch, right?
Go to Houston where he can keep poking it over in left field. Sure. Yeah, he would fit in Houston.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
He's gonna be a Dodger or something. Once.
It does happen more often than you'd think, right?
It's so dumb how often it happens.
Oh man! By the way, did you guys? I didn't see the whole because it was like an hour long interview with Chris Rose and Brian Wilson. On his show on the John Boy Network or whatever. Oh my God. I only saw the first 15 minutes. I keep meaning to go back and watch the rest of it. So yeah, you know how Chris Rose and Brian Wilson had this whole shtick and interaction back, you know, in the 2010,
yeah, wasn't he the one with the machine walked the behind him or whatever.
Exactly. And, walking in the background, which everyone knows is Pat Burrell, right? That kind of thing. Yeah. So yeah, he's back. And it was great. It was a video interview and it was as awkward and weird as ever, but super entertaining for those first 15 minutes. So I got to go back. So anyway, anyone interested in what Brian Wilson is doing these days, check it out. Just, you know, Google Chris Rose, Brian Wilson interview. I'm sure it'll pop up, but
Brian Wilson
fantastic.
Should have been one of those guys who like went to the Mexican League or whatever, you know, like that's how he should have become the old American like pitcher who, you know,
he should have
done that.
He did mention that
he hasn't
officially retired. He never announced his retirement. Yeah. He's also technically I'm not retired yet, but so Chris is like, okay. Are you waiting for a call? And he's like, no, I'm not waiting for a call. He was realistic about it, but just God, the guy is so zany. It's just fantastic. All right, so we're not going to talk about every game, but just kind of highlights or things you remember from each of the series, the last four that have happened. A couple weeks ago, they did take 3 of 4 from Arizona. The only loss was to our old friend Madison Bumgarner. So hey, look, if you're going to win lose 1 out of 4 to Arizona, might as well beat a Mad Bum. I did not predict that.
At all.
No.
I thought we were going to mash the hell out of Madison Bumgarner. And I was at work, so I saw some of the texts that you guys were doing. So I was kind of just keeping up on my phone. And apparently, like, we were getting decent contact off him, but just nothing was actually falling. And we just couldn't put anything together. So props to him. That's kind of how he has to pitch now, right? He has to be that kind of keep you off balance a little bit, crafty veteran now.
Well, he pounded the zone all night, so the Giants, you know, just kept swinging at pitches, and it was the best Bumgarner that we've seen against the Giants, or just that we've seen since he left the Giants. It really was. And if they're going to lose one game in a four-game series, that's fine. Let it be to Bumgarner.
Yeah.
At least we didn't get no hit by the Diamondbacks.
So right. For a guy with his first start, right?
Yeah.
Looking at you, Padres.
First major league start. So at least that awesome. Didn't happen to us.
I know. You know what? I was shocked to hear he's the sixth pitcher in history to do that on his first career start. I was like,
what? That's happened six? Five other times?
Damn. Like, I thought it might be the second or third, not the sixth.
I can't believe it's ever happened. That's incredible.
It is pretty amazing. But in that series, you had one extra inning game. The Giants had a 7-1 lead. They coughed it up right away. They went to extras. Dickerson had a grand slam in that game, but they ended up putting three up in the 10th and won 11-8. And Eric, you were going to comment on the other game that they came back on.
Yeah, because they were down 4-0. You remember the final game of the series, they were down 4-0 in the top of the ninth. And they were pretty much dominated that day by Merrill Kelly. And then they yanked Kelly after his eight innings and the Giants go off in the ninth. And put together a good string of hits, too. It wasn't just, like, one big thing. I mean, Crawford doubled, Belt singled, Wade singled. And then they won it in the 10th inning. It was unbelievable that you were expecting the Giants to lose. It was 4-0. It's over. And then, bam, all of a sudden they have a victory. And, you know, instead of a split, the Giants take 3 or 4 from the D-backs and keep pace against the Dodgers. It was just a real fun series. For that reason, they had those two, you know, the one wacky game to start with and that game to finish it. It was nice to see them go in the desert and keep banging the crap out of the ball.
Yeah. Chris Bryant, after the game, was interviewed and he said, we stole that one. We had no business winning that game. And those are the things that championship ball clubs do, right? They take away a few games like that throughout the season. Yeah, the Giants gave up a couple too, don't get me wrong, but they take them back in that fashion. So that was kind of like a bonus win when you're sitting
early,
in the ninth early, inning.
Early in the year, we were losing these types of games, right?
Yeah.
But the last 2 weeks, I think we've had like maybe 4 or 5 games like this where you're like, what? How? Wait a minute, we won this game? So either that's luck kind of evening itself out, or this Giants team has just found some sort of resolve. It really feels like it's resolved to me, though. It's like, we're just not gonna lose. And when we do, I mean, it's funny, sometimes we just have those like days where it's like just nothing's happening, that you can kind of feel it already. That 4-0 game, I still kind of felt like they got a chance here, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they just 4 spot in the ninth. Wow. And this is not the last time this is gonna happen in this couple week span that we're talking about. So
no, because then, you know, I was at some sort of, what was it? I think it was a graduation party or something like that, kind of keeping in tune with one of the games on Saturday a couple weeks ago against the Brewers in Milwaukee, in which it was 2-1. Brewers lead all the way into the ninth inning.
Well, we lost the game before 2-1, the Friday night game. And it was like, oh, my God, the Brewers are the real deal. Like, I was like, these guys are scarier to me than the Dodgers.
Well, that's what
the way that the games looked.
That's what I was settling into as well, is like it was the opposite of Arizona and all that. So, you know, wild scoring, large scoring. It was like a well-pitched, defensive-minded, low-hit, low-contact kind of game, 2-1. And then this game goes 8 innings, 2-1. And it was like, oh, crap, they're going to lose back-to-back one-run games like this. This sucks, you know. But that's why the Brewers are good. Okay, well, you know, what are we going to do? We got to salvage tomorrow. And then, boom, they push across a run in the ninth, and they go to extras. And then the Giants score 3 in the top of the 10th, and you're going, all right, they're going to steal another one, another game like they did against Arizona. Oh, they just scored 3 in the bottom of the 10th. Thank you, Jake McGee, right? And suddenly it was tied again, and the momentum was just crazy in that game. And then the Giants end up putting 4 across in the 11th. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, guys, we got to do one better here. We got to keep pushing. Pushing the stack, and they did, and the Brewers ended up just scoring 1 in the bottom, and a 2-1 game in the 8th turned into a 9-6 final in 11. That, what?
I mean, obviously, yeah, putting a runner in second has something to do with this, but still, it's like, you know, I mean, it was incredible. It was like, okay, 3 didn't work, let's do 4, and then, look, that worked. It's, I mean, that's the type of thing that, it sounds ridiculous, but I was like, that's just this 2021 Giants stuff, man. Like, that's like, I'm Now I'm just not surprised anymore at all. And if you were ever going to surprise me with a game, it was that game right there. But at the end of it, it just felt like I went, I told a guy I work with who's a Cardinals fan what had happened. And he said, yeah, doesn't that happen to them like every day? Don't the Giants just keep doing this all the time? Like, you keep coming to me every day telling me the new story about what the Giants did. And it sounds more unbelievable than the last one. And I'm like, and I know, this is weird. It's weird, but it's true. You recognize
the whole Milwaukee series was a slugfest. Like, they are a heavyweight. It felt like that. It felt very similar to the Astros series, where every time a team punched, the other team would punch back. And even the Sunday game, you know, it was a 5-4 victory. The Giants needed to sweat it out. I know they. I'm pretty sure they jumped ahead, and then it was another comeback for the Giants.
It was 4-2. They scored two in the seventh. That was a Brandon Belt 2-run home run to tie it, and then another one in the eighth, and they ended up holding on for the 5-4 win, and that's when Zach Littell had to come in and shut the door, because this is when the bullpen was just getting taxed. The Giants really went through a series where the starters could not finish five, and it was really taxing the bullpen.
This was a weird game, too, because they were saying also that it was like a ton of people had like essentially a scheduled day off. We were playing with like a roster of like 15 or something like that. So Buster didn't play. Can't remember who else didn't play, but there was like a bunch of people didn't play. And then they were talking about, oh, these guys are unavailable out of the bullpen. And I'm like, really? In like the third rubber match of a series against the Brewers? Okay. But win that game too.
That's doesn't right. Matter. They were on fumes. That's totally right. Because that was the end of 13 straight days. Yeah, they played like 13 straight days and won like 9 or 10 of those games. And
it's a Cueto start, and you're like, Cueto's not the guy you can reliably go, he'll give you 7. You know, like, you're like, please give us 5. He gave us 5 1/3, so thank you. But, yeah, then we go to Alvarez, Watson, and Littell. That's not the names you are normally seeing.
It's not the
hat tip to Littell, man. I mean, Littell really has been doing some things, you know. He stepped up in these big situations. He cleaned up McGee's mess the other night. I mean, so it's a pretty good look from a guy. The Giants bullpen has been strong. I know they were running on fumes there, and you know, they're a little shaky with McGee the past week, but in general, the Giants have one of the best bullpens in baseball, and I don't even have to look up the stats. You know that it's true. They don't give up much at all, and they strand a lot of runners, and Littell's been a big part of that lately.
Yeah, for sure. They get that much-needed day off on that Monday of last week, come home, and you're like, all right, against Arizona again for a short two-game series, let's go. First game, they jump out to a 5-0 lead after five. You're thinking, okay, they could put this on cruise control. Oh, wait a minute.
Yep.
Arizona scored 5 runs in the top of the 6 on 13 pitches.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do, right? I saw social media blow up. What is Kepler doing? Why isn't he taking him out? It was Alex Wood at the time, right? Yeah. It was 13 pitches. You're not even going to be able to warm up to one in 13 pitches. And he works fast, by the way. He's the fastest worker of them all. So, I mean, there's very little they could do. Plus, again, the bullpen was taxed. It was still recovering. You know, you don't want to have that knee-jerk reaction after 2, 3, 4 hits going, okay, just get him out. He didn't really have that luxury, nor with the timing. But unfortunately, the inning was capped off with a homer, which, you know, capped it off at 5. It sucked. It happened. The Giants are forced to kind of come back. They score 2 in the 8th, followed by the Diamondbacks scoring 2 in the 9th to tie it up. And then the Giants mercifully did not go to extra innings again by pushing across a run on an error in the bottom of the 9th. So another run thrown in, as Flan used to say. But unfortunately, the Giants are now 5-0 in the goddamn creamsicles, and I'm sick of it.
By the way, the new narrative, because the narrative has changed for what the Dodgers fans are saying. It's the Giants are somehow weirdly healthy, or oh, they're just riding a lucky streak. Then it was, well, they're just hitting like more home runs than anybody should, and it's going to slow down. And home runs are some. This is the other thing, the guy. Said to me, Ewok in LA said on Twitter, so home runs are harder to hit in October. I was like, oh, I didn't realize the winds shifted in October, but okay, cool. Good narrative. The Giants are just getting all the lucky bounces. All the other teams are dropping balls and doing whatever against them. And I hate to tell him this, but over 162 game season, like, everybody's going to get some games like that. And also, if that's happening, that's a trend that the Giants relied on in 2014 and 2021. And it's a thing. Like, if you're the team that doesn't make the mistakes, you're the team that wins. So it doesn't matter, oh, the other team is making mistakes against them. It's like, no, the Giants just are capitalizing on them. And when you do make a mistake, we're the one who doesn't make the mistake. And so we win and you lose. I'm sorry to say, you know. I can't think of – there's been a couple of games where the Giants have these crazy errors, right? But it's not been a trend at all. The trend is definitely going the other direction. So it's just really funny. It's like I'm having so much fun watching Dodger fans pull their hair out trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
And they see something like that and they go, well, yep, there you go. How can we beat that?
I mean, you're up to 120 games now, basically 118 games played. Yeah, I think we're well past the lucky bounces.
It's not a fluke kind of thing. Anymore.
Yeah. It's not a fluke anymore.
No, flukes are like that Diamondback sixth inning. I mean, four batters in a row put the first pitch in play. And then he went two pitches to the next guy and then three pitches to the next guy and he homered. And that was the whole inning. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pitches. It went from, 5-0 to 5-5. That's just absolutely amazing. So, teams need fluke luck streaks like that to beat the Giants right now. I mean, that was a hell of a way to come back. And I love that they're 5-0 in the City Connect unis. I hope if there's a Tuesday home playoff game that they get to wear this City Connect.
God. Yeah, no, I know, right? No, We're going to have to wear them for the entire playoff run now at this point.
Yeah, if they end up like, I don't know how many Tuesday home games are left, probably like 2 or 3 at the most, right? If they end up going 7-0 or 8-0 in these damn jerseys, yeah, you'll probably see them pop up in the playoffs if they push it. So,
to be fair, though, the Giants have a really good record in all of their jerseys this year. So,
but not undefeated.
That is fair. They have the best home record in baseball. They have the best record in baseball.
Yeah. Pretty damn
good. So you want to look for trends. It's like, yeah, there's not really a trend here, man. They just keep winning games.
Haven't lost more than 4 straight. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Well, they end up going off to win the next game 7-0 to complete the mini sweep against the Diamondbacks. They welcome the Rockies into town. The Rockies, of course, come in with one of the worst records on the road. Right now it stands at 14-45. That's after the series. But coming in, the Giants take the first game, no problem, 7-2. The second game, DeSclafani came off the injured list, pitched well, 6 innings. They had a 5-2 lead going in the ninth, a little shaky again for Jake McGee. In fact, there was an almost home run that Charlie Blackmon hit. And, of course, he victimized the Giants earlier in the year in Colorado. Mm-hmm. He had a walk-off. So when he hit that, that was kind of everyone collectively held their breath. But it did go foul. He ended up singling. They brought in Littell, and he closed the door after 2 runs were scored. So it was a one-run victory, a little torturous, which is, again, the whole reason that Willie and Ben and company named this podcast Torture Cast.
Yeah.
We are very used to games like this.
It's funny having to explain it at this point because it's like such an old meme now.
I know, but it's come back, right? It's like...
Yeah. No, it is. I see the word torture everywhere on social media now again. It has. It's made a comeback in ninth innings like that. Mm-hmm. When, again, Littell came and cleaned up the mess. You know what this weekend reminded me? It reminded me of how annoying the Rockies are. You never remember how much you hate them. We haven't seen them for like 2.5 months, so you kind of forget about the Rockies for a while, and then they came in, and they were just annoying all weekend. And you remember, oh, yeah, I don't like this team.
Well, I like taking 3 out of 4, though, so.
Hell, yeah. No, I know, but like those ninth innings, it's the Rockies. They won't go away. They won't go away. It was Connor freaking Joe. That was the night I totally jinxed it. Joe hadn't done anything all series. Yeah, gosh. Like how? Right? The timing on that couldn't have been better. I refuse to believe that he had hit 5 home runs, and then he hit a 6th. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, that guy, like, all series, it felt like, he was never going to be able to get anything going. It was so funny to see Connor Joe in a Rockies uniform over the weekend. Like, where did that hair come from?
Yeah, the hair, man. He's growing it out. Looking a little, I think it is crazy to think that he started in left field for the Giants in 2019. This is weird.
Yeah, not that long ago, man.
Not that long ago at all.
He's a distant memory to me now.
So the Giants end up dropping. They break their six-game winning streak, which, by the way, is their high-water mark for a winning streak. For a team with the best record in baseball this deep in the season, you would have expected, a nine-gamer in there or even higher. I mean, the Phillies have an eight-game winning streak this year, right? Other teams have longer streaks. But that's how consistent this team has been. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, they haven't lost more than four in a row. They haven't won more than six in a row. They're just consistent. I mean, they're just freaking consistent, and it does a good job kind of with expectations. But they dropped that game 4-1. You got to have a stinker here and there at home. No problem.
Well, what sucked, though, was the Dodgers also won that day. So yeah. This was like the first time forever that the Giants lost on the day that the Dodgers won. And I was like, come on, man. I don't want to ever see this ever again. I was really hoping that this is my hope. We're going to win this division by like nine games. Like that's like, I know it's like impossible, only if. But yeah, I know. But I was really hoping that, like, cause just the way things were going, it was like almost laughable. Every single time we lost, they lost. Every single time they won, we would win. We'd play like later in the day. And I was like, this is just so incredible. And then finally, I was like, I knew it was going to happen eventually. But, I was hoping not when we were playing the Rockies. So.
But I know. But, you know, from the other side of the aisle, you know, when I was reading an LA Times article about the Dodgers, and they said this is the first time the Dodgers gained a game on the Giants since July 20, it was like 6th or 7th. It had been like over 2 weeks since, like you were just saying, since the Dodgers won on a day the Giants lost. And so from there, you know, perspective, they're like, Jesus Christ, are these guys ever going to lose? Like, they just
Dodgers have been hot as hell.
Yeah, and the Dodgers have been hot.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm like, every single day, I'm like looking into their score, and they're winning by like seven. Yeah. I'm like, this sucks, man. Come on. Like, somebody beat it. Like, when the Phillies finally beat them a game, I was like, thank you. Jeez.
Yeah, 2-1. You were like, whoa, yes.
Yes. It's a scratch and claw just to beat the Dodgers. Like, last night, I tuned into the game late, and I was like, hey, let's see if the Mets are hanging with the Dodgers. 6-0. Nope. Damn.
6-0 in the third. Exactly what I did. I was like, all right, there's no way the Mets are going to get so 6-0. Okay, they're getting swept. God damn it.
Forget this. Yep. I'll go do something else. Yep. That's exactly what happened.
I know. And they had a with like 14-4. I mean, they just piled it on. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Mets. We were talking about it, that they're pissed because, and this happened to the Giants before, actually in New York a couple of years ago. It was originally an afternoon game, but ESPN wanted to put it on Sunday Night Baseball. So they moved it to an evening slot. And the Mets are like, yo, we got to fly across to San Francisco and play a night game. So
apparently
they're like,
They got into town at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, so
that's fine. The Mets aren't going to turn away that gate a Sunday night.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
I think the ownership is happy with it. The players are the only ones that are grumbling.
Yeah. But the Giants wrapped up the series with a victory yesterday. So, like I said, they went 10-3 since we last recorded. And yet only gained that whatever half game or game on the Dodgers over the last 2 weeks. But hey, you know what? It's okay. It's what happens at the end of the season, not what happens in these 2 weeks. And the Giants are holding serve and a little bit better. So it's all you can hope
for. Yeah, if the Giants
go
10-3 every 13 games.
Yeah, I think they're going to be okay.
What the Dodgers do. Like, have at it, you know? Sign every guy in the friggin' world. The other funny thing that Ewok in LA had tweeted was, I can't believe the Dodgers didn't get Chris Bryant, if only to block him from the Giants. And I was just like, dude, you don't just get to have every player. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I mean, they think
like, I know. I forget it, you poor Dodgers fans.
That's
like,
not how this works.
We got one guy. Our guy's real good, though. We did good there.
Yeah. By the way, I looked at Chris Bryant a little earlier. I think he's sitting under 300 with the Giants, but he's not doing poorly. He just has that one home run, of course, that opener.
Fantastic. He's no showing problems. Like all the things he can do right now.
Yes.
To me. Like he's kind of giving you a little of everything. He's won games for us. Like, I mean, honestly, on that error, he beats the throw out. And like, that's, that was really important. It wasn't like, you know, Buster Posey doesn't beat that throw out. So he's doing all the things. He's making jumping, turning throws from third base and diving stops. And he's doing all the stuff. And he's incredible.
No, absolutely. He's been great. Uh-oh.
There's nothing to not like about him. No, I'm still here.
All right, good. My screen, I guess, is flipping out a little bit. No worries. There we go. It came back. iMac is having a heart attack here. There's not too much to talk about. I don't want to get into all the details for transactions, but of course, big one, Evan Longoria is back with the team after his very long stint on the IL from that freaky collision with Brandon Crawford on that little pop. I mean, what are you going to do? Those things happen. Not often in the infield, usually happen in the outfield. But
and if the trends continue, he's got to hit 5 home runs over the next 4 games.
Sweet.
That's what all of our guys do when they come off the IL.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Aaron Sanchez was originally DFA'd. He cleared waivers, and then the Giants kind of looked left, looked right, and went, yeah, unconditional release, bye. So that's it. Aaron Sanchez is no longer a San Francisco Giant.
Well, they signed 3 starting pitchers, Tyler Chatwood and a couple other guys. So, I mean, there's just only so many arms you can churn through the system.
Absolutely. There's only so many slots they have at AAA, and you know.
It's been kind of incredible to watch. This is like the most impressive thing Farhan is doing, is somehow keeping a 26-man roster with all these guys moving in and out. I mean, he's doing things like putting people on paternity leave. He's got guys going on
the COVID IL.
The minors, they're coming back. They're going on 60-day, whatever. Like, it's like, what is the next thing that – what are the available spots that you can put people now?
Dude, he is playing chess, right? While a lot of GMs are playing checkers, man, he is, like, using every tool in the tool belt. You know, he's just like Jay Jackson, you know. Oh, he got his vaccine. All right, he's going on the DL for one day, right?
So we can
activate Longo and then, you know, to sit down Long and Estrada. Like, just the minutia he's just pulling here is pretty freaking amazing. Whatever works, man, and I'm sure he's been very clear with his players and management going, like, we're doing whatever we can to squeeze every inning out of the bullpen, to get every righty against a lefty pitcher, to get every defensive person we need for later. Whatever it may be, he's just thinking 3-4, you know, 5 games ahead. So it's pretty cool to see.
Yesterday's game was the perfect example of that. The way the Giants manufactured their second rally, they had 2 rallies that really should have scored more runs than they did yesterday. But the second one was because they had such a left-handed heavy lineup that they got to throw all the righties out there when a left-handed reliever was brought in for the 3-batter rule. Like, Farhan kind of mastered building a roster to the rules as they're evolving. And like you said, the other teams are catching, you know, still catching up. Because Kapler, he does it all the time. He'll unleash 2-3 pinch hitters in a row that are from one side of the plate to the other, and nobody else is really doing. Oops, sorry, Millie.
Yeah, when you have when you have the roster as deep as we do, then it doesn't. We suddenly aren't like dying defensively by doing those things. It's kind of nuts,
man. When Darren Ruff pinch hits for Brandon Belt, or Brandon Belt pinch hits for Darren Ruff, we're not screaming at the screen like, "What are you doing?" It's like, all right, that makes sense. That's what the Giants do now. When Lamont Wade, you know, or Dickerson gets pinch hit for, even though they've hit a home run, we don't bat an eye. We're like, okay, now it's Wilmer's turn. Now it's Tyro's turn. It's just really unbelievable, and that's where the Farhan playing chess compared to the other ones playing checkers. If he's not executive of the year, and if Gabe isn't manager of the year, then these people should never vote on anything again, because it's just unbelievable the way they've managed to put together this roster and do things. I really thought we'd be screaming about Gabe Kapler throughout the season, and we don't have many nits to pick with him.
No, he seems to have settled down with his bullpen management, because there was an issue at the beginning of the year that we saw the pattern emerge, but things changed. And I don't know if it was him learning from experience or a talk with management or with the players. But, it seemed to change, and he's been managing the bullpen, I'd say, fairly well.
I think, honestly, another thing you have to look at when it comes to Gabe Kapler is he makes so many moves that he exposes himself to criticism, right? Because if a move doesn't work, it's like, oh, Kapler, what did you do? But then over the span of this amount of time now, they seem to work a lot. You know what I mean? So it's like, sometimes they don't, sometimes they do, but that's not, you can't be results oriented. You just have to keep plugging away. And like, it's like being a poker player. Like, look, I'm going to call you when I'm 55-45, because I'm just going to do that if the numbers make sense. Right. And sometimes I'm going to lose those coin flips, but if I did the right thing, then I can't get down on myself. It's the thing is that he just keeps like doing the right thing. And over time it's worked out more often. So now we're like, oh, my God, wait a minute. This guy does know what he's doing. What the hell? Like, we just had this small sample size early on, I think, that was, you know, a couple of blown spots there and some games that we thought we should have won. And we're like, well, you put that guy in and then he blew it. So obviously it's your fault.
Yeah, clearly.
That's not really how this works.
Because every reliever you ever put in is supposed to put up zeros forever and ever.
Yeah, Exactly. I mean, nobody ever comes out of the bullpen. That was like the mound is different than the bullpen mound.
McGee wins NL Reliever of the Month, right? Scoreless 25 consecutive appearances.
Yeah.
And he's finally human, and he gives up whatever those three runs in that game. And people were screaming at him and Kaplan. Why'd you put him
in? It's like, why is he in? What do you mean, the NL Pitcher of the Month? Why is he
hadn't even given up in a run since May? Yeah. I mean, he's human. They're going to freaking give up some runs here. It's going to happen at some point. And he's always in a high leverage situation. So that's the problem, is that when you finally have that hiccup, it happens under the spotlight and everybody sees it. It's not your middle reliever giving up two like Leon gave up two runs in that loss to the Rockies. He got credited with the loss. Did you see people screaming about Leon being put in the sixth inning? No, because it wasn't the ninth or the 10th or something like that. Right. It's just I'm doing a lot of blocking on Facebook lately.
a lot of fans don't really, they don't pay as much attention. They don't. It's not something like that's as much of an obsession. They just only remember the last outing, the last time somebody like Yarlene Garcia had this incredible outing where he like saved the rest of the guys in this bullpen and did like multiple innings and like extra inning stuff, and then he gave up two or something the other day, and everyone was like, "What? This guy sucks." DFA Garcia. I'm like, "What the hell is wrong with you people?" Like,
it's amazing.
It's not a shutout.
Fanatic.
Yeah, Brandon Belt doesn't hit three home runs in a game, et cetera. You know, they're all trash. But the Giants have been moving a lot. Brebbia was sent back down. Cueto was put on the 10-day IL. Estrada's been up and down. They signed Luis Gonzalez, the son of that Luis Gonzalez, as far as I understand, right? Isn't that he that guy?
Wow.
From the White Sox.
Kid, I never knew.
Yeah, they acquired him from the White Sox and then put him on the 60-day IL because he had right shoulder surgery. Et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, so long to go through. Check it out. The Giants are definitely a chessboard with a lot of rooks and knights and bishops sitting on the side ready for action. It's been one hell of a season. And it's funny because, like, you know, we look back on teams in 2010, 12, and 14 and hashtag Forever Giant. And there's some random names that come up once in a while. And you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that guy was on that team, right? He for like 3 weeks. There's Dan way Ugla. More of that. Yeah, Dan Ugla. Well, that was the shortest one of all, probably. You wore number 22 as well, which pissed me off. But to see, like, you know, this year's roster, I know last year we had so many guys on the roster. This year is going to blow it away in terms of number of players that appeared on the 40-man and the 26-man. And, again, like 5, 6, 7 years from now, we're going to look back and go, you know, I'll just pull, a Connor Menez or a Camilo Duvall or a whatever. I mean, maybe they'll be big parts of future teams. I don't know. But it'll be something like that. We're like, oh, yeah, that guy was on the team for a brief moment in time.
Sam Selman.
Yeah, he's long gone. All right, well, let's talk about who's hot. So I mentioned this earlier, since Casale's come off the injured list in June, he's hitting 329 in 82 at-bats with all five home runs. I mean, five home runs and 82 at-bats for your backup catcher, not too shabby. Brandon Crawford hitting 340 in the last 2 weeks since we recorded. La Stella hitting 300 since he came off the IL. Dickerson over the last 2 weeks as well, hitting 323 with three home runs. Posey hitting 372 in that same time span over those last 13 games. And then I was talking about this too earlier with the streaky belt. He comes off that, and Willie mentioned this too. He comes off the IL and promptly goes 6 for his first 14 with 4 runs and 7 RBI. You're like, he's back, baby. And he's like, wait, no, I'm Brandon Belt. He's gone 0 for 16 since. A first inning double against Arizona. Yeah. 0 for 16 since then. So he's hitting 200 now since coming off the IL. It's just one of those things, man. I root for the guy. And when he came off, it was like, yes, all right, he's hot. Let's keep it going. And it's just been nothing ever since. Jose Alvarez, you mentioned him, Willie. His last 14 appearances, no runs, over 15 and a third innings pitched. 111 batting average against. And over his last 29 innings, he's only given up 300 runs for a 0.93 ERA over that time period. And then Logan Webb, man, this guy has emerged to be a stud. This is not a 3 or 4 game stretch now. This is 10 starts. He is 5-0. The Giants are 9-1 in those 10 starts. He has a 1.53 ERA in 53 innings pitched, a 185 batting average against, and 57 strikeouts. I mean, this dude used to be, he got on the mound, you didn't know, he's a young guy, he's going to be shaky. He's been their most consistent starter over the last couple of months. It's been amazing.
Yeah, no, it's and if you want to talk about what matters in the playoffs, it's going to be winning series, which means you can't have one guy. You know, 2014 was a very strange year where one guy just seemed to be able to get the whole thing done. But in general, you're going to need to have a few guys you can rely on. So it's really nice to see Webb, you know, come across as maybe that second ace, and getting hot at the right time, figuring his stuff out. Gausman seems a lot better now, too, by the way. I mean, still not quite back into his form earlier on. So it's all starting to feel a little more like this team can compete, man, when it comes playoff time, for sure. We just need some of these guys who are hot now. By the way, are you guys getting the vibes that it's just like we can ride an 0-for-16 from Belt, because it's not like early on where like Casale was like, oh, it's a black hole in the lineup, it's causing us to like not score. Mm-hmm. When Belt goes 0-for-16, we still feel like we're scoring. It's like the vibe is just like, it's okay. It's okay for Belt to get cold for a while. Whereas like, you know, 4 years ago, if he got cold, it was like the whole offense got cold, right? Well, it's just not that way anymore.
The thing of the team and the way they're built, it was funny. I heard my buddy Steven Rizzotto say this on the radio yesterday. You can take any Giants lineup and flip it, and it would still be a top-heavy lineup.
Sure.
There are no holes, you know what I mean? Like, if you did that back in 2014, if you take the lineup and flip it, it's not top heavy. You know, there were holes in the six, seven, and eight hole sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. and the Giants do not have that. You're absolutely right. So they can hide Belts 0-for-16 and bat them sixth or seventh if they need mm-hmm. to. You know, Yastrzemski, they've shown no problem, and they've shown an absolute willingness to move Yastrzemski down in the order when he hasn't mm-hmm. been contributing as much. And I think it makes it easier to hide guys like that with that kind of a lineup, because it's really amazing. It's the depth. It again goes back to the depth, and it all goes back to Farhan. It's really crazy. Like, the F on our SF hats should stand for Farhan soon. Yeah, it should be San Farhan if they win it all, because, you know, he's going to get sainted.
By the way, when Listella came back, I was like, oh, this takes away at-bats from Solano, who's actually been kind of hitting the book. But now Listella's like Marco Scudero 2.0, like out of nowhere. And I'm like, let's just ride this guy then. Okay, never mind. It's like, it doesn't kind of matter who's in there. They just all get it going.
That's the amazing thing. I mean, he missed a grand slam by inches yesterday. I mean, there's even some audible
Logan Webb missed the grand slam.
You're right. Oh my God, I forgot about Logan Webb. He smashed that to center field. It goes off the very top of the fence. I know, and it was a single.
He's got two hits, Logan Webb. That memorable triple and a 400-foot single where he got Kinsler'd.
Kinsler'd, exactly. Man, no, you're right. That's two grand slams the Giants could have had this week. But
I think, though, what we should put in the who's hot every week is the Giants. The Giants are hot. Who's hot? Overall. The Giants.
Wouldn't be wrong.
Wouldn't be wrong. I think the worst week they had was like a 2-4 or a 3-4, you know, or 3-3. I mean,
I can't even imagine that they've had that.
Stable. They've been so stable.
I gotta go look.
Well, they've had, you know, a couple of 4-game losing streaks, so that'll be just natural in there. But I mean, yeah, it's this team just continues to surprise to the point now where it's kind of expected. But, you know, coming up, the Giants have 3 versus the Mets starting tonight with Gausman, who, like you said, Willie, seems to be settling down. So hopefully he's okay for tonight. Hopefully the Mets are jet lagged as hell and beat up from the series against the Dodgers. And, and hopefully the Giants can continue the roll over the Mets, who have been fading in the East. The East is, Eric and I were talking about this pre-show, and it sucks no matter, you know, who is the wild card or the two wild card teams in the National League, most likely even the second wild card will have a better record than the East Division winner. And whoever loses that wild card game goes home, and yet the winner of the East continues to a 5-game series. It just sucks. I hate that.
The Padres would have a 4-game lead in the NL East right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those things. But that's how playoffs happen. I mean, the Giants benefited off the wild card system, and obviously in 2014 and 2002. So, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes there's just weak divisions. I remember, you know, what was it? The Cardinals in 2011, I believe. Yes. They had 85 wins or 86 wins? It was in the mid-80s. They had like 85 wins or something like that. Anyway, they ended up winning the World Series. And I was just like, wait, what? They're barely over 500, you know? It felt like, you know, well, I couldn't say NBA because one of those teams never makes it that far. But in baseball, that's the crazy thing about it is that, you know, the Giants have proven it. You just sneak into the playoffs, and that's all you need, you know? Any given day, I know it applies to football, but any given series really applies to baseball more so than, you know, basketball or something like that. So we'll see what happens. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for episode 234 of the TorchCast. You can follow us collectively on Twitter at TorchCast, individually at ChadK21 for myself, at Two Out Hits with the number two for Eric, at Willie Dills for Willie. You can also check out our website, TorchCast.com. Like us on Facebook, where we stream this podcast generally every Monday or so. And you can also find our audio podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, Google, you name it. I don't have anything else going on right now. What about you, Eric?
I still same Giants chatter. If you're watching us on Facebook, in about a half hour from now, Giants chatter, Brooks Newton and I are going to go live previewing the Mets series. So if you want to shift over and, you know, focus forward after, you know, wrapping up some of the stuff, fun stuff we've talked about, you can do that. So just Giants chatter group on Facebook. And, we're doing live streams, you know, around all the series, cause this is the home stretch. You know, there's 7 weeks left in the season. So, you know, join up now and have some fun with us because we generally just have a lot of fun. And, you know, nobody's too negative in that place. Even the negativity is sarcastic and everybody seems to get it.
Sure. I love the group. Like I said, I haven't blocked anyone in that group. So it's been all the other social media groups. So yep. It's been good. You guys do a good job controlling them. What about you, Willie?
Honestly, just white knuckling it for the next 3 weeks over these games because, yeah, Mets, A's, Mets, Braves, Brewers.
Yep. Yeah.
These are all even like... when they go to Colorado, it's Colorado and Colorado. So Colorado, I don't even think Colorado, we can. Yeah. Right. I don't think they get a break until that Cubs series.
It's just all teams that are they're competing for the playoffs right now. That's the big thing to me is that, you know, whether or not they're good. I mean, the Mets just got swept. They're a team trying to get to the playoffs, so that's always like more scary, right, than playing some team who's given up. But yeah, I'm like, I've not been streaming. I'm like so baseball focused. So yeah. I'm like either working or I'm trying to watch the baseball game, or sometimes both at the same time. But that's what I'll be doing the next 3 weeks for sure.
Yeah, like you're saying, the Rockies, man, they're 38-21 at home, so that's kind of like a playoff team at home. But yeah, three against the Mets, three at Oakland, three at the Mets, three at Atlanta, three against the Brewers at home. That ends August. Sorry, four against the Brewers at home. That ends August, goes into September. Three at home against LA, three at Colorado. Oh, man, that is all the way until September 10th. Yeah,
we don't get a break.
Chicago. But then the Padres roll into town. Then the Braves roll into town. Then they go to the Padres.
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of the schedule is no.
What the hell, man?
Nothing to shake a stick at. But
I think it's awesome. If they come through this gauntlet, yeah. I mean, they've got to be one of those teams, one of the most poised teams to take down a title in like our lifetime. We already know it's shaping up to be one of the best Giants teams of our entire lifetime. Yeah. But they could be absolutely historic if they run through this gauntlet and keep winning two out of three games, which is basically what they're doing. I think they're even better. Better than that. I mean, that's a .667 winning percentage. What are they at right
They're
now?
They're just shy of that. 644 okay. or something like that.
Yeah, there it is. 644. So just keep winning two out of three games and they're going to be primed and ready for the playoffs. It's really remarkable to watch. And I look forward. I hope they wax the Mets. You know, it's always fun to beat up on the Mets. And
start
I hope
tonight,
this
baby.
Yep, nothing start crazy tonight. Happens. They face Dick Mountain tonight.
Dick Hell Mountain. Yeah.
Another good baseball name. All right. Well, on that note, thanks for joining us, everyone, for episode 234. We'll see you next Monday for episode 235. Until then, have a great week. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TorchCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.